It takes a lot more. Thank you. It's this one thing you did, whoa, whoa. take my ring off, sell the car. I wish you hell with your new
And now for the third part of the four-part late-night tales story, Flat of Angles, written by Simon Cleary and read by me, Benedict Cumberbatch. I just can't access my thoughts or put them into words. I think they're in my brain's recycle bin awaiting deletion. Still no reply to my text. I sent it at, 9:48, and it's now 10 o'clock. She hasn't texted me in response to my imploring, longing, yearning message full of wine-sodden grief. Thus, morning, exclamation mark, how are you? I enjoyed our journey into darkest old Kent Road via K-Way last night, exclamation mark. Back at my place. Looking forward to the gig tonight. What time can you get there? Where is Rhythm Factory? Have a great day, exclamation mark. Kiss. As many questions as possible, all crying out for a response. Surface lightness, reflective even. Asking after her, referring to events as our, showing her I'm thinking of her. The kiss, though. That was contemplated for a good 5 minutes, although we held hands briefly. Near McDonald's on the old Kent Road last night, I don't know if that was too forward or the kiss too presumptuous now. But her touch sent a clean, electric impulse through me, up my arm, into my brain. It cut through the K, the sodium light, the rain that I longed to protect her from in my arms. Now each check of the messageless phone results in a little clutch of pain somewhere in the vicinity of the heart. There are snails climbing all over the walls of my bathroom. There is a bush outside the window when it rains, if I've left the window open, which I need to sometimes. They crawl in. The iridescent tracery they leave on unknown journeys sparkles in the bulb light. I take a Tesco bag glove and gather them, bundle them out of the window. My time span with you before the war. She said she was going to Spain, hoped it wouldn't rain, heard it wouldn't rain, I wanted to go too. She said she was a solo traveller, it was her rule. She goes on journeys alone, with plenty to read. I recommend some books so that perhaps a thought of me would go with her. Perhaps I am the only thought she had, or more probably she never thought of me as I did of her. I wanted to say these things, but there was always a wall around me. I could never tell people how much they meant to me. I could tell others how much I hated some people, but I could never even tell a friend I appreciated their company until I'd had 10 cans, then it would descend into a stereotypical drunken, "You're my best mate, you are." So, we opened that bottle of absinthe and sat on the couch. I knocked a copy of Face onto the floor and cleared away a few cans with my boots. We turned to face each other there, and my knee touched hers. I looked at our knees together, hers at the top of the black leather boots hidden in grey woolen tights with little bubbles on them. Her knee moved imperceptibly away, but I felt it. I looked up to her face as she said, "Drink a shot with me and look me in the eye as you do." We did. I didn't feel the effect of the alcohol, but her eyes gave me a warm glow. I was swallowed by them as she swallowed the green liquid. I couldn't get enough. We did it again and again. Rinse, then repeat, as needed. Well, we were at Fabric for a drum and bass night, and we were about to bowl at about 4, just getting our coats, when we heard Tim getting in some sort of trouble with the cloakroom attendant. He'd lost his ticket. She said we'd have to wait until the end to get the coat. So we had to sit outside by the meat market in the freezing cold. At least we had our coats. Until 8, when it was finally over. Tim's was the only coat hanging alone in the middle of this deserted hangar. Then Tim puts his hand in his jeans pocket and pulls out this sweat-ravaged raffle ticket saying, "I had it all along." Doug saw this. He just screws his hands up into fists, forces them to his side, shaking, gritting his teeth and growling, moving off slowly, muttering, "For the love of..." Oh, no. My number will be on our phone. They'll know.
I need to get around there and delete the calls. Sorted.
Out of the strong came forth sweetness. It says that on the tins of Lyle's golden syrup. Have you ever noticed that? It has a picture of a lion dead, surrounded by bees buzzing around and feasting on the lion's innards. It's from a biblical story. Someone was going somewhere, saw the lion dead in the sunshine, and carried on. On his way back, the bees had started to form a hive within the lion and were creating honey. Hence, out of the strong, I have enough here to join her, to join the lion. I can't walk around the block once more again. I've been doing that for years, and I have never escaped. I don't even know why I'm doing it. I'm going nowhere. Like those snails, except out of the window. The streets are full of mercenary eyes, veins full of evil serum. 90 degrees from window, right down to its gables.
You've been listening to Late Night Tales, music and stories worth staying up for.